I want to talk about an era in Israel and Judah's history in which God definitely had to intervene. Let me ask you a few questions. How close do you think in one of the reigns of Judah and Israel, how close did the kingly line of David come to being wiped out? With only, as far as I know, one person who was still of the royal family left, and they were hunting for him. Who was the only partly Israelite to sit on the throne of David? Who was the only woman to sit on David's throne? Under whose reign did some people who were in the royalty area come and take things, were permitted by federal authorities to take things out of God's temple, even parts of the temple, and take them and put them in the house of Baal? Can you believe that? And who was the most wicked woman in the Bible? And then we get down to this question. What part in all of this did King Jehoshaphat have in helping David's kingly line to nearly come to an end? Then I'd like to ask this question. Is it true that women are always in the extreme? They are either much better than men or they are much worse than men. Some women have an ambition that can rival any man. Queen Elizabeth has sat on the throne of England for a long, long time. She was a tough ruler. And with whatever authority she had a lot of power and influence. She was strong-minded and strong-willed. She was pretty much a good queen of England, sitting on that throne. But what if a woman is not kind? What if she's not good? What if she is ruthless to the extreme? We'll talk about that. There are a couple of names that people never name their girls. One of them, I think you already know, is Jezebel. And the other is Athaliah. We'll see why Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, one of the great kings. And boy, the book of Chronicles is so complimentary of him. Listen to this in 2 Chronicles chapter 17. I'm going to begin in verse 3. The Eternal was with Jehoshaphat because in his early years he walked in the ways of his father David, the ways his father David had followed. I'm reading this from the New International Version. He did not consult with the Baals, but sought the God of his fathers and followed his God's commandments rather than the practices of Baal and of Israel, the regular, what was going on at the time. The Eternal established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Eternal. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. Okay? He removed. And in the 2 Chronicles, now chapter 17, of dropping down to verse 10, the fear of the Eternal fell on all the kingdoms of the lands surrounding Judah. Now, Judah was there. Jehoshaphat, listen to what Jehoshaphat did to make peace around him, because the fear of Judah fell on all these other tribes, all these other people. Why? so that they did not make war with Jehoshaphat. Some Philistines brought Jehoshaphat gifts and silver as tribute, and the Arabs brought him flocks, 7,700 rams, 7,700 goats, 7,700 goats. Jehoshaphat became more and more powerful in verse 12. This is 2 Chronicles 17, verse 12. What did he do to become powerful? He built forts and store cities in Judah. He built forts, okay? We're going to be protecting ourselves. And store cities. We're going to have grain stores here and this here and wine and, you know, this. We're having places to store up food. We're going to have things for emergencies. What did Joseph tell the king of Egypt? You know, you need to have grain places because there's going to be 7 years of fabulous crops and 7 years of very thin crops. You're going to have storage. Jehoshaphat built storage. Jehoshaphat, verse 12, became more and more powerful. He built forts and store cities in Judah, and he had large supplies in the towns of Judah. Supplies, people, lots of supplies, foods and other things. He also kept experienced fighting men in Jerusalem. He had a ready standing army in Jerusalem. Their enrollment by cities was as follows. From Judah, the commanders of units, 1,000, they name all these guys who commanded 300,000, the fighting men, and this person, 280,000, and so on. Verse 17, from Benjamin, he had a valiant soldiers, 200,000 armed men with bows and shields. And verse 19, this is 2 Chronicles 17, verse 19. Maybe it's verse 8. Anyhow, here it is. These people, these men served the king besides those he stationed in the fortified cities throughout Judah. Verse 18. Now Jehoshaphat had great wealth and honor, and he allied himself. Here was his blot. This was the blot on the otherwise wonderful, sterling reign of Jehoshaphat. Now Jehoshaphat had great wealth and honor, and he allied himself with Ahab by marriage. A marriage with Ahab's daughter. Not Jehoshaphat himself, but Jehoshaphat's son. Some years later, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. Ahab slaughtered many sheep and cattle for him and the people with him, and urged him to attack Ramoth Gilead. Ahab of Israel asked Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me?" You know, "Will you go with me?" Now, Jehoshaphat must have been a nice guy. Okay, let's face it; he was a nice guy, but a naive guy. He thought, "Well, let's make peace with Ahab. One of the ways you make peace is that you have your son marry their daughter, or your daughter marry your son. And now we're both grandparents of the same kids. Look, Ahab, you and I, we're going to be grandparents of the same kid, you know, coming up." How nice that was. And so Ahab asked him, "Would you join me?" And Jehoshaphat replied, "I am as you are." Okay. "I am as you are. And my people are as your people. We will join you in war." This is in second. Now we're in chapter 18. We're in chapter 18 now in verse 4. But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, "Well, why don't we seek the counsel of the Eternal? We need," because Jehoshaphat was very devoted, very religious. You remember that under his reign, the people had come up against him, and God said, "Don't worry. I'm going to fight for you. You don't have to worry. You don't even as strong a military as he had, God says, I'll take care of it." And he confused the people. They fought with each other. So in verse 5, so the king of Israel brought together the prophets. Now, this is king of Israel. That's Ahab, one of the worst kings Israel ever had, because he listened to his wife Jezebel, who brought in Baalism all over the place. Jehoshaphat was a worshiper of the Eternal, the YHWH, the God of Israel, the God that came to Moses. He was a worshiper of that God. Ahab was a worshiper of Baalism, not God, not the Yahweh, not the Eternal. No. So here comes Ahab. He brings in prophets, 400 men, 400 prophets. He's got them all over the place. And he asks them, shall we go up against Ramoth-Gilead or not? What do you think? What should we do? They said, go, for God will give it into the king's hand. Now, they use the word God here, not the Eternal, not Yahweh, not the God of Israel, but El, you know, an El, God will give it to you. But Jehoshaphat asked, now finally Jehoshaphat said, well, is there not a prophet of the Eternal, of Yahweh here, that we can ask him? Is there nobody else? So these are all prophets of Baal. Well, the king of Israel said, well, there is one guy. There's one guy whom we can inquire of the Eternal, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good toward me and always bad. His name is Micaiah, and he's the son of Imlah. Then Jehoshaphat says, well, the king, you shouldn't say that. You know, you shouldn't really say he's just trying to, you know, hates you. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, go bring Micaiah here, you know, bring him in, dressed in royal robes and all that, and bring him. Now, if you read through chapter 17 and chapter 18 and chapter 19, you'll see that Jehu, who was commissioned by Elijah to destroy all of Ahab's kids, destroy the lineage of Ahab, Jehu rebuked Jehoshaphat. He said, why are you making a pact with people who don't worship the Eternal? You're making a pact with people who worship Baal. What kind of a deal is that? Why are you all so chummy with this guy who doesn't love God? He doesn't love the Eternal. He's going to go and put Baalism. Nevertheless, Joshua went, did what he had to do. Okay, so we have in chapter, we have here in chapter 2 Kings. Now we'll drop down to chapter 8. Now I want you to know that certain words, certain things in the Masoretic text get sort of confusing because it's not always that reliable, and it has a number of factual errors in it. You'll see it here. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 16. Sometime during the fifth year of the reign of Ahab's son, Joram, J-O-R-A-M, the king of Israel, Joram was the king of Israel, okay? While Jehoshaphat was still ruling, you remember now what happened in that battle. Micaiah says, "You know, you want to go? You're going to." He said, "I see. Here's what I see. I see Israel scattered with no leader. This is what I see." And Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you? He never prophesies anything good to me. He's telling me I'm going to get killed." And so Ahab says, put this guy, he sends him over to another area, says, put this guy in stocks and hold him there, feed him only bread and water till I return from the battle. And Micaiah says, if you return from the battle, the Eternal has not spoken through me. So they go out. Now, Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, you wear your royal robes. Okay, you wear the royal robes. I'm going to disguise myself. I'm going to get really careful and just like I'll be like one of the ordinaries. But you wear your royal robes. And Jehoshaphat did it. But when people saw, these people were really after Ahab. But when they saw Jehoshaphat, they realized Jehoshaphat was not Ahab. They backed off. And just somewhere in the battle, an arrow went right through the armor, right between the places of the armor. You have a piece of steel here, and that's another piece of steel here, and connected by a little piece of cloth. That arrow just happened to not hit here or here, but right through this little slot and pierced into Ahab. And he says, tells his chariot man, get back, let's leave. I'm wounded. And by the time they got him to where he could have help, he was dead. So his son, Joram, J-O-R-A-M is the way it's spelled, but it's also can be spelled another way. You'll see this in the text. He started the reign in Israel while Jehoshaphat was still reigning as king in Judah. Now, Jehoshaphat's son, this is 2 Kings now, chapter 8 and verse 16, Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, G-E-H-O-R-A-M, and sometimes in the text, they spell it J-O-R-A-M, just like Ahab's son. So we'll just see that. I'll point it out so you won't be confused, but it can be very confusing. Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, he is the lineage of David. He ascended to the throne of Judah now. Jehoshaphat died, okay? And you'll see that in the book of Second Chronicles. So he sleeps with his fathers. He was given a tremendous burial, tremendous things, and, honored very much because, for the most part, he had done well. But this is one blot. To have his son marry Ahab's daughter was a blot on Jehoshaphat's reign. Okay? So here in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 17, he was 32 years old when he became king. Now, not as 2 Chronicles will have that he was 42. He was not 42. Okay, he was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. This is Jehoram, Jehoshaphat's son. He lived his life, however, listen, verse 18, like the kings of Israel did, following the example of Ahab's household, when he married Ahab's daughter. Oh, come on in. Oh, let's have, here's how we're going to set it up now. We're going to have a nice big feast for Baal. We're going to have a nice party for Baal. We're going to do these things for Baal. And then come on in. So Jehoram, Jehoshaphat's son. Okay, he lived his life like the kings of Israel did, following the example of Ahab's household when he married Ahab's daughter and practiced what was evil to the eternal. In the eternal's presence, it says, in the eternal's presence. I'm reading this from the International Standard Version of the Bible. But the eternal remained unwilling to destroy Judah for the sake of his servant David. Since he had promised to keep, God had promised to keep David's lamp burning brightly through his descendants every day. Promised to keep a descendant on the throne of Judah all through that time. Okay, so this was a stain. When he had his son Jehoram marry Ahab's daughter Athaliah for political reasons. Now, when Jehoram was 32, he succeeded to the throne, and Athaliah then became queen. Queen of Judah. Listen to what Jehoram's first action was. This is 2 Chronicles now, chapter 21, beginning in verse 4. 2 Chronicles 21, verse 4. When Jehoram had ascended the throne, of his father. Now he's taking Jehoshaphat's place. And he was now established. Okay, you are the king. Everybody, all now, all the people surround you. You, all the guards are there for you. You command the king, the king's guard, the secret service. They're all going to work for you. He slew. Listen to 2 Chronicles 21, verse 4. He slew all his brothers with the sword. And also some of the other princes, the royalty, people from the royal family of Israel, killed every one of his brothers. Now, I wonder why. What prompted him? Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. This is now, okay? He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as the house of Ahab had done. This is now 2 Chronicles saying this. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Eternal. I have no doubt that Athaliah not only supported his killing of his brothers, but probably helped instigate it, urged him to do so. And he killed his brothers who were part of the royal family. If something happened to him, you know, one of the brothers would take over. But he killed them out. Jehoshaphat's own sons. Jehoshaphat set that up by wanting his son Jehoram to marry Ahab's daughter. Now we're dropping down into 2 Kings chapter 8 again and verse 24. Joram passed away. Now it says J-O-R-A-M. Joram passed away. That's not Abraham's son here. That's again the way it's spelled. It could be Jehoram or Joram. You have one time it's Jehoram and one time it's Joram. This is Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat. Now, this is 2 Kings 8, verse 24. He passed away and was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Now, he passed away because he joined the other guy in a fight again. He got hurt. He got a disease. He went down there and he passed away. Okay. And his son Ahaziah replaced him as king. So now Joram and Athaliah had a baby whose name, he was now part of the royal family, whose name was Ahaziah. Okay. And I'm sure Ahaziah had, they may have had a daughter and they so on, and they had other kids besides Ahaziah, but Ahaziah being the first was going to replace him as king. So in the 12th year of the reign of Israel's king Joram, the son of Ahab, Jehoram's son Ahaziah became king of Judah. Ahaziah was 22 years old, not 42 as the King James has it. You'll see it. This is 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 28. He was not 42 as the King James has it. It couldn't be, because if he was 42, he was probably he would have been born when his father was only a few years old. Not second, because some other translations of the 2 Chronicles 22 and verse 2, they have it in the King James as he was 42, but the Masoretic text reads 42, but the parallel passages in 2 Kings 8, which we just now reread, says 22, along with the manuscripts of the Septuagint version and some Syriac manuscripts, they all say he was 22, okay? He was 22 years old when he began to reign, not 42 years old. When he became king and he reigned for 1 year, Now here's Ahaziah. He reigns for 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. Now the King James says daughter of Omri, but the Hebrew word can mean daughter or granddaughter. And we know he was the granddaughter because Omri was Ahab's father. Omri was an evil king of Israel, and he was Ahab's father. He wasn't as evil as Ahab, though. He followed in the footsteps of Ahab's dynasty, Ahaziah, and did evil in the sight of the Eternal, like Ahab's dynasty, for he was related to Ahab's family. Yes, this is from the New English Translation. Let me read it. Here, 2 Chronicles chapter 21, okay, and beginning in verse 20. He, Jehoram now, that's Athaliah's husband, the son of Jehoshaphat, was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. Well, if his son was 42 years old, it just wouldn't make sense, you see. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and he departed with no one's regret. Okay? Jehoram, who married Athaliah, listen to what 2 Chronicles says, departed with no one's regret, and they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. They despised this man, who was the husband of Athaliah, and he was weak. He killed off his brothers. Nobody liked him. Nobody thought he was, nobody respected him. He was an evil kind of guy. Second Chronicles now, chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. Then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place. So Jehoram died. His son becomes king. For the band of men who came with the Arabs to the camp had slain all the older sons. Now look at this. Look at this. Jehoram's older sons. Now Jehoram kills out all his brothers. Now Jehoram's older sons are all killed. And now we have Ahaziah, the youngest of Jehoram's son, becomes the king of Judah, king of Judah. His mother is there, okay? And the Arabs came to the camp and had slain all the older sons, so Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, the king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year, only 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He, Ahaziah, also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, because his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Oh, we need to set up things for the Baals. Oh, we need to spend money on the temples of the Baals. Oh, we need to get more people to come to Baal worship. Oh, we need to forget more of the Yahweh. We need to do this. We need to do that. He did evil in the sight of the Eternal, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father, to his destruction. So he went ahead, following the ways of Baal. He also walked according to their counsel and went with Jehoram. Now again, you'll notice 2 Kings chapter, 2 Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, now in verse 5, that he, Ahaziah, okay, he walked after their counsel, and he went with, and it spells it Jehoram, the son of Ahab. So you can spell Joram or Jehoram. It's spelled both ways in the Masoretic text. And so it could be very confusing. Is it Is Jehoram, or is Jehoram Joram, or is Jehoram Jehoram? I mean, it's so. But I'll help you with it. This is Jehoram or Joram, spelled Joram. I like to call him Joram all the time. The son of Ahab. He was the king of Israel, and now Ahaziah was the king of Judah. He went down with his buddy, probably uncle, you know, Ahab's son, the king of Israel, to wage war against Hazael, the king of Syria, the king of Aram, at Ramoth Gilead. But the Armenians, the Syrians, wounded Joram. Okay? They wounded Joram, so he returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which they had inflicted on him at Ramoth. That's Ahab's son, when he fought against Hazael, the king of Aram. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, the king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab. This Jehoram's going down to see that Jehoram in Jezreel because he was sick. Now, the destruction of Ahaziah was from God. Now, here's Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, the grandson of Jehoshaphat, now going down to see Ahab's son, the king of Israel. For when he came, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu. Oh, the son of Nimshi, whom the Eternal had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. It came about when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab, he found the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's brothers ministering to Ahaziah, and he slew them. So now here's more of David's lineage, okay? These are the princes of Judah, the son of Ahaziah's brothers, the sons of Ahaziah's brothers, ministering to Ahaziah, and he killed them all. He also sought Ahaziah, and they caught him while he was hiding in Samaria. They brought him to Jehu. Jehu put him to death and buried him. Remember, Jehu slew Jezebel. Jehu's job was to kill everybody related to Ahab, wipe out Ahab's lineage. And so here he came, he got Ahaziah because he was part of Ahab's lineage, because he was the son of Ahab's daughter. But he was also part of David's lineage. So there was no one of the house of Ahaziah to retain power of the kingdom. No one. So, 1 Kings. Now, this is not like this Ahaziah was not, he was not strong. He was a weakling. He was following what his advisors from his mother and all that told him to do. He was not like Asa, A-A-A-S-A-A. Let's go down to 1 Kings. Just to show you an example of what Asa did. 1 Kings chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. In the 12th year of Jeroboam, that's, you know, the kings of kingdom split between Israel and Judah. Jeroboam took over the house of Israel, and Rehoboam took over the house of Judah. In the 12th year of Jeroboam, Asa became king of Judah. And he reigned in Jerusalem 41 years. His grandmother's name was Maakah, the daughter of Abishalom. Now Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Eternal, as his father David had done. I mean, grandfather, you know. He expelled the male shrine prostitutes from the land. I'm reading this from the New International Version. This is 1 Kings chapter 15, dropping down to verse 12. He expelled the male shrine prostitutes from the land. He got rid of all the idols his fathers had made. He even deposed his grandmother, Maakah, from her position as Queen Mother because she had made a repulsive Asherah pole, an Asherah pole to worship Astarte and so on. He didn't like that. Here with this young man, he says, no, we're going to follow the eternal. We're going to follow. Asa cut the pole down. He burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although he did not remove the high places, Asa's heart was fully committed to the eternal all his life. He brought into the temple of the eternal the silver, the gold, and the articles that he and his father had dedicated. Ahaziah was not anywhere near like this guy. Ahaziah was a weakling. Ahaziah followed his mother's advice, and even Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, who saw his dad with a great reign, his dad was dedicated to the eternal. You know, he follows his wife into Ahab's family. Let's all celebrate the festivals of the Baals. So in Second Kings chapter 11, Ahaziah now is dead. It was not anywhere near what a previous king of Judah Asa was. But now Ahaziah is dead. Let's come to Second Kings chapter 11. Ahaziah is dead. And we'll begin in 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring. All the royal offspring. Anybody else? Are there any grandkids? Did some of our kids have kids? I want to kill them all. Everybody in David's lineage, except one. Okay? But notice verse 2. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, sister of Ahaziah. So here was Jehoshaphat, here was Jehoram, here was Jehoram's daughter. She was the aunt, she was the sister to Ahaziah. She took one kid, Joash. She saved the lineage. You know, God promised David that he would have somebody on his throne, and he fulfilled that promise. She took this Joash, son of Ahaziah, stole him from among the king's sons, because what was Athaliah doing? Killing all the king's sons, all of Ahaziah, even her own kids and grandkids. She did not care. She put them to death. Okay, they were being put to death. See, but she took Joash, son of Ahaziah, stole him from among the king's sons who were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom, so that they hid him from Athaliah. He had to be Athaliah's son, or maybe Ahaziah's son by another woman. I don't know. Maybe Ahaziah had several wives, but they were Ahaziah's sons. She was killing them out. I don't want anybody from that royal family. I am going to be in power. She was killing them out. Okay. She placed him in the bedroom so that they hid him from Athaliah, and he was not put to death. So he was hidden with her in the house of the eternal 6 years while Athaliah was reigning over the land. How long did Athaliah reign over the land? She usurped the position as the ruler of Judah. And by her cunning ways, by her cleverness, by her ruthlessness, by her insistence that she had people around her, the guards are going to tell, I want those people destroyed. I want that so-and-so killed. I want this one part. And she ruled over them. Now, there is no mention of the name of Athaliah's mother. We don't know. Her name is never mentioned. It never says Athaliah's mother, or the, you know, Athaliah had the mother, so and so. They never mention Athaliah's mother. But many people assume it was Jezebel. She was Ahab's daughter, but, you know, it could have been, but we don't know. It's nice to assume that she was Jezebel's daughter because she was bad, just like her mother then. You'd say her mother was evil. But we also know that Ahab had many other wives, and he had 70 sons. Notice I'm reading from the New English Translation, 2 Kings chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Ahab had 70 sons living in Samaria. Wow! 70. So Jehu wrote letters and sent them to Samaria to the leading officials of Jezreel and to the guardians of Ahab's dynasty. This is what was said in the letters. You have with you the sons of your master, chariots and horses, a fortified city and weapons. So when this letter arrives, pick the best and most capable of your master's sons and place him on his father's throne and defend your master's dynasty. They were absolutely terrified when they got that letter and said, look, two kings could not stop him. How can we? So the palace supervisor, the city commissioner, the leaders, and the guardians sent the message to Jehu. We are your subjects. Whatever you say, we will do. We will not make anyone king. Do what you consider proper. So he wrote them a second letter saying, if you really are on my side and are willing to obey me, then take the heads of your master's sons. Come to me in Jezreel at this time tomorrow. Now the king had 70 sons, and the prominent men of the city were raising them. When they received the letter, they seized the king's sons, executed all 70 of Ahab's sons. So Ahab had more sons than just Joram. Ahab had more sons than just a few. And so whether these sons were going to replace him. Now, this is in Israel now, not in Judah. Athaliah ended up ruling over Judah. But they were pulling people, killing people now, and they were done. And when they received the letter, they seized the king's sons, and they took them, their heads, and in baskets. Oh, man, what bloodiness. The messenger came, told Jehu, they have brought the heads of the kings of sons. And Jehu said, stack them in piles at the entrance of the gate until morning. In the morning, they went out and stood there. And they said to all the people, you are innocent. I conspired against my master and killed him. But who struck down all of these men? Therefore, take note that not one of the judgments of the Eternal announced against Ahab's dynasty has failed to materialize. The Eternal has done what he announced through his servant Elijah. Then Jehu killed all who were left of Ahab's family in Jezreel, and all the nobles, the close friends, the priests. He left no survivor. Anybody was a good friend of Ahab's. And who was a good friend of Ahab? Jehoram, Jehoshaphat's son. But he was already dead. Jehu then left there and set out for Samaria while he was traveling through this, so on. Jehu encountered relatives of King Ahaziah of Judah. Who are you? They said, we are Ahaziah's relatives. He said, come on down. And we have come down to see how the king's sons and the queen mother's sons are doing. Okay? But I think at that point, they were killed. The first recorded act of Jehoram then was the fact that he was able to kill his brothers. And this has started the diminution of King David's line. We'll talk more about this, how things worked out, how God preserved the line of David in the face of evil that you can hardly believe. You know, it takes faith, right? Faith in God. And God seems to always work it the way he wants it. No one can withstand God's will. Join me in prayer as we finish today. Father in heaven, we come before your throne, always mindful that you are able to fulfill every promise that you say. You are able to do more than we even ask or think. So we ask, Father, that you will continue helping your people wherever they may be, in whatever straits, as they cry out to you in their problems, in their issues, in their trials. But also, Father, receive their thanksgivings. For people who are blessed, they feel good about their lives, and they feel good, and they love you, and they love Jesus Christ, your Son. Receive our thanksgiving, Father, for everything that you give us, because we know all good things come from you. We ask your blessing now on all your people. We ask your dismissal. We remember those who are in trouble, Father, all those with Parkinson's disease. We ask that you will be with them in their struggle, and that you will be with Sharon Carruthers as she approaches her time of procedure. We give you thanks for everything. We glorify your name. We bless you for all the good things that you do. And we do it all in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.